In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Happy Friday to everybody. Hope you're preparing to enjoy a wonderful weekend with your family or your loved ones or some good friends. And don't forget to hit Mass on Sunday. And you know what? Why don't you do this? Why don't you invite a friend to come to Mass with you? Maybe even someone who maybe fallen away, hasn't been there for a while, and say, you know, hey, I just was thinking about you. Love you to come to Mass. Well, I don't know if I want to go to Mass. Oh, just come on. We'll go to breakfast afterward. It'll be awesome. You know, and then don't try to convince them or anything. Just invite them, right? Invite them. And if they come, don't say anything. Don't try to explain anything. Just let them experience it. And then take them out. Keep your promise. Take them to brunch or breakfast or lunch or whatever. And then, you know, if they bring it up after asking questions, now that's your inroad to talk about, you know, your experience of the Mass, your experience with Christ, maybe some things that they saw. And, you know, again, little steps, right? Throw the seed, right? You know, you hear me talk about that all the time. Just throw that seed of faith. Great opportunity to do that this weekend. Why not? You know, you never know how God's going to, a little simple thing like that could open the floodgates of God's mercy. And, you know, who knows, eventually bring that person to a place of reconciliation and joy and peace in the Lord. Well, today, my friends, we're continuing our series called God's Blueprint for a Happy Life. We're basically just walking through the Ten Commandments, the articulation of the natural moral law, and looking at how they apply to our everyday lived experience today. Well, today we are on the sixth commandment, which is adultery. So you're thinking, well, okay, well, I'm not married, so I don't have to worry about that one. Wrong. The Catechism of the Catholic Church does actually a fantastic job when it goes through the section of the Catechism on the Ten Commandments when it gets to adultery. Because remember what Jesus himself says, if you have looked at a woman with lust, you already committed adultery with her in your heart. Right. So but the bigger thing is remembering that St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:19 that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit that we have with us from God. Remember that you are not your own. You have been bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Really, you know, so we're going to take that system and kind of expand it out to take a look at the full breadth of how God created us to be with our bodies, and that our bodies are, you know, temples of the Holy Spirit. But when we view our bodies as objects, as things, you know, to be manipulated and used, then that's when things become problematic. So we're going to dive into that today. God's blueprint for a happy life, taking a look at the sixth commandment, you shall not commit adultery. I would love to hear from you. If you have any questions about that, for example, you know, both in Mark and Matthew's gospel, the passage from Jesus in Matthew's gospel, the one that's most popular. He says in Matthew 18, he's talking about Matthew 19, he starts talking about adultery, and he says, if you marry a woman, you get a divorce, and you get married again, that's adultery. I mean, one of the clearest, most unequivocal teachings of Jesus in the entire scripture. But in Matthew's gospel, he talks about the what's called the porneia exception. Are married and you have a relationship with another one, except for adultery, it says in there. Some people think, well, oh, that means cheating, you know, or having an affair. That's not what that means at all. Jesus uses the word porneia there, which is the root word for pornography. You know, it's not good, but it's a concept known in Hebrew as irvat davar. It's having a relationship with someone in your family that's too close in the collateral line. In other words, you're having like incest, or, you know, with your mother or your sister, or first cousin, or something like that. So that's what Jesus is talking about there, because Jesus, now Matthew uses that porneia exception. In Mark's verse, he does not use that at all. It's in Matthew. Remember, Matthew's talking to Jews who understood the law. So he makes, now when Mark quotes Jesus, he doesn't use it because the people that Mark are writing to don't, you know, are not necessarily concerned about those kinds of aspects of the law. But in Matthew's gospel, where he's talking to Jews who understand the law and showing that Jesus is the fulfillment of the law, he records the words of Jesus there with that porneia exception so they can hearken back to the Torah. That says, oh yeah, remember that, you know, Moses is very clear about teaching about that, those kinds of relationships. That's the exception that Jesus is talking about there. We're going to take a look at that passage a little more deeply as we get into the concept today. But would love to hear from you today, your thoughts on this commandment of 6, you shall not commit adultery, as part of our series, continuing series, God's Blueprint for a Happy Life. So not committing adultery is one of the blueprints for living a happy life. Of course, would love to hear from you today on this Friday. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. If you're outside of North America, dial 1, then 205-271-2985. Of course, you can always email us at beacon@ewtn.com. You can even text your question or your comment to 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Just give us your first name and how you're listening, followed by your brief question or your comment. Remember that message and data rates may apply. God's Blueprint for a Happy Life, our continuing series of reflections on each of the Ten Commandments and how do they apply to our lived experience today. Today we're talking about commandment number 6, you should not commit adultery. Would love to hear from you today, 1-833-288-EW10. That's 833-288-3986. I'm so grateful for so many things today, and especially being home. You know, this is the second weekend in a row that I'm home for the entire weekend. And that does not happen often at all. It's literally been years since I've been home for two full consecutive weekends. Well, since the pandemic, duh, right? I mean, everybody had to be home then, right? But it's been a while. So I'm grateful for this time, extra time with my wife. Back in the parish, I've been doing hospital visits and things, and it's been great to exercise that part of my diaconal ministry. So I'm grateful for that. I'm also grateful for the amazing people on the EW10 staff that bring you this show each and every day. Michael McCall and Pedro Quiles, who help us out on social media. Matt Gabinski, who will be screening your calls today. And the indomitable Ace McKay, our producer. Ace, how you doing today?
I'm good, man. Quick funny story. Last night, jammed with some new musicians. Just met them this week. They're like, hey, we have a jam session every Thursday. Come hang out. I'm like, all right.
Is that the garage one where you had your car fixed?
Yeah, this is the garage. Yeah.
So I was totally curious about that.
Yeah, so it was really more curiosity than anything, but yeah. These cats were good. It was fun. But the thing that was funny to me anyway is there were several drummers. So I showed up to play bass or drums. The bass was already there. He was jamming. He was in the pocket. He was good. So I didn't want to get him up or anything. So I just went, just picked one of the mini drum sets that were there and started playing. Well, this one kid comes in, and apparently he was told that there was no drummers, and so he thought he was going to be the only one, which I think brought him some joy. Well, we're in the pocket playing something like Tom Petty or whatever it was, and he is a metal drummer, so he decided to add to the song. And so we're, you know, we're in the pocket, you know, it's just a simple 4-4. And then all of a sudden, all over the solos and the vocals, and I was like, oh my. So I just held it together. And then after, he's like, you know, I was just messing with you. I was like, hey, man, you got your own style. That's for sure.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. You know, a lot of that, especially when you're playing musicians, looking and listening.
Yes.
You know, and getting that feel for, you know, what's going to happen next kind of a thing. And it's kind of that unwritten language of when you're playing in a band.
Yeah. You got to read the room, right? You know, I mean, I understand there's a time to show off, but, you know, you also have to find that time to go, okay, this is fitting. I'll do this here. Let me pull back. Like, and dynamics, please, drummers, dynamics.
Yeah, and you know, it's like that in relationships too. You know, sometimes when we're in a room full of people, you know, sometimes we want to impress them, right?
Yep.
So we want to show them some of our best qualities and things like that. But sometimes it's better to show restraint.
Yeah.
Just sit back and listen.
Your time will come.
Yeah, exactly. God's Blueprint for a Happy Life, our continuing series of looking at each of the Ten Commandments. Commandment number 6, you should not commit adultery, 833-288-EWTN. Yeah.
Little walk in line.
Yeah, it's kind of James Brownish, you know, kind of that style back in the 50s, 60s.
Yep. Got to shuffle the loafer, you know, like just a little shimmy.
Yep. Love the drum work here, man.
Right?
Yeah.
See? You get your time, right?
Yeah, nice.
See, I got some yeah-yeahs in there.
Oh, there you go. All right. This is perfect Friday music. I'm sure there's people driving home right now from work, and they're like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
get out of my way.
Start my weekend. Or maybe you're on vacation, you know. This is still the time, you know, before kids get back to school, you know. Time to spend some time with on vacation. And so this is great music to get you in the mood to head out there and do something fun with the fam.
I had a guy's day like a week ago with my son Ryan, and I played some James Brown for him. And for like the first 2 minutes, it's just James and the band. And he's going, "Watch me." And Ryan goes, "Does he sing anything else?" I was like, "There are other lyrics, but it's James being James."
It's James being James. That's it. Yeah, yeah. Oh, man. I mean, because for him, I think it was more of letting the groove do the talking.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I mean, obviously, come on. I mean, he's not the greatest vocalist. He's not the greatest lyricist.
Sure.
But, you know, it's perfect for the music. It's almost like... It's not like some voice like it's another instrument there, but for him it's more like a percussion. Like it's more, you know, the way he sings is more with the flow of the music. It's not so much like it's another instrument that's, you know, adding great depth to what you're hearing, but it's like it's that punchiness of the, you know, of his singing. Ha! Hit me. I mean, it's like, and again, you can hear that with Michael Jackson, you know, kind of taking that and emulating and making it their own.
Yeah, yeah.
But I like that. I like the percussiveness of his vocal.
Well, and of course, if you ever got a chance to see him live, I mean, he was a showman, so he wasn't busy singing. He was dancing and moving and entertaining, so.
Yep, yep. I mean, I'm gonna kiss myself.
It's hard to sing a bunch of words when you're winded, right?
Yeah, exactly. it's a workout, man. That's for sure.
No doubt.
You know, maybe we should come up with like the James Brown workout. You know, everybody's got these. Like, remember back in the day, James Fonda had a workout thing, and everybody had their own. What was that other guy? Oh man, the guy with the curly hair that wore those crazy costumes.
Richard Simmons.
Richard Simmons. Yes. He had a workout thing. We just do a James Brown. We just played some great music and just like have people just move, and that's their aerobic workout for the day.
Well, that just takes me back to Eddie Murphy's impersonation with the celebrity hot tub. Did you ever see that sketch?
Yeah.
That was the best.
That's bringing it back right there,
right?
Man.
OG.
Oh, man. God's Blueprint for a Happy Life. That's our topic today. I'm Deacon Harold Burke, series listening to Beacon of Truth. And God's Blueprint for a Happy Life is a continuing series where we reflect on each of the Ten Commandments and how they apply to our everyday lived experience. And today we're looking at commandment number 6, which is adultery, which really what I want to discuss here is how our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. And how we can honor and glorify God with our bodies, as St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:19. And would love to hear from you today, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
While you're maybe traveling this weekend throughout the summer, if you already use the TuneIn app, makes it easier for you to find EWTN Radio Live. That way you can listen anytime. You can check out Beacon of Truth throughout the day or any of your favorite shows over the course of the weekend. Just search EWTN Radio in the TuneIn app.
All right, my friends, God's Blueprint for a Happy Life. And we walk through each of the Ten Commandments. Today we're looking at commandment number 6, which is adultery. And would love to hear from you, your thoughts about our bodies being temples of God's Holy Spirit and how the abuse of the freedom that we have with our bodies leads to things like adultery and lust and pornography and all these aberrations that we're seeing in our culture right now. But I know this sometimes a difficult topic to talk about, you know, a little bit of sensitivity, but you know, we can't be afraid to tackle these issues because these are the issues of the day. These are issues that are affecting our children, and these are young adults. So this is an important thing to look, because we're being inundated with all of these different visual images and things in our culture, and we need to understand how do we approach these from a position of faith. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Leah is calling from Charleston, South Carolina, listening on Catholic Radio in South Carolina. Leah, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Thank you, Deacon.
Yeah, great to hear from you.
I appreciate that. Enjoying the show, as always.
Yeah, thank you. Go right ahead.
My experience is that if you go to confession when you have temptation, whatever the temptations are, not just adultery, but anything, and you confess that, that those temptations very often disappear. Those attractions can disappear and are no longer a problem for you.
Yeah, and you know, honestly, Leah, that's really great advice, because that's what I do. Like when those temptations come, you know, what I do is I pray an Our Father and a Hail Mary, slowly as possible, because I'm inviting our Lord and the Blessed Mother to be with me in this moment of temptation to help me fight. Or maybe the St. Michael prayer, but I'm thinking, Our Father, who art in heaven. I mean, I'm concentrating on each word, asking God. And I know when I do that, the temptation goes away, because I'm starting to align my heart and myself more with God's love and God's life, and opening myself to the grace that God wants to give me in those moments of temptation. I mean, it's easy to just give up and just cave into the temptation, but no. We have to stand and fight against those temptations, and you know, and that's something that helps me quite a bit.
To help me, Lord, I am perishing.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, you know. Oh, Leah, you just reminded me. Another thing that I think, if you memorize the Psalms, you know, I love the Psalms. But if you have a favorite Psalm, like help. Oh, like what is it? Oh, I think it's Psalm 60. Oh, let me look at Psalm 60. This, because you, when you just said that, just reminded me what David prays. Help me, O God, for the waters have risen to my neck. Yeah, here it is. Psalm 69. Save me, O God, for the waters have risen to my neck. I have sunk into the mud of the deep where there is no foothold. I have entered the waters of the deep, and the floods overwhelm me. Man, how many times, talk about temptation or being at the bottom, and we're asking God to be with us in that moment, to help us with these thoughts, with these desires that want to turn us away from God's love. It's like, no, we got to stand and fight, not give in. Stand up and ask God to be with us. And he will respond because he is a God that is faithful. Yes. Oh, Leah. Thank you. And of course, confession as well. When we do fall, the Lord, and the Lord, that's why he gave us the sacrament of reconciliation. He realizes over and over and over again, we may make mistakes, sometimes really big, scary, messy ones, and that there has to be a vehicle of his divine mercy available to us that we can avail ourselves of through the sacred ministry of the priests who stand in the person of Christ to be able to impart God's mercy when we're truly contrite and we're sorry for what we have done. And again, to cooperate with the grace of that sacrament to fight even harder next time against temptation. So thank you so much for that beautiful call, Leah, and for the beautiful reminder of calling on the name of the Lord and then going to confession when we fail. God's Blueprint for a Happy Life. This is our continuing series. We're walking through and sharing reflections on each of the Ten Commandments. Today, commandment number 6, which is adultery, which is very expansive. It's not just having an extramarital affair. It's really when abusing the glory of our bodies given to us by God, filled with the Holy Spirit, when we objectify either ourselves or other people for pleasure. And so that's what we want to talk about today. Maybe you want to share some of your struggles, or as Leah just did, some beautiful things. You can call on the Lord and, you know, in those moments of temptation. But we'd love to hear from you today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Let's take a quick look at a couple of the biblical passages from Matthew's gospel where our Lord brings this up. The first place is actually Matthew chapter 5, right? So this is this is right at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, which is Matthew chapters 5 through 7. And so Jesus is beginning. And so in verse 27, again, in chapter 5, he says this in Matthew's gospel. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery, right? Referring back to Exodus chapter 20, which has the list, the initial list of the Ten Commandments. But I say to you, right? Because now, remember, Jesus establishes himself now as the new Moses, the new giver of the law, right? But I say to you, everyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Clear, unambiguous teaching of Jesus. I mean, how could you argue with that? It's plain. If you look at a woman lustfully, you have already committed adultery with her in your heart. Then he goes on to give some strong teaching right after that. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. If it's better to lose one of your members than throw your whole body into hell. Woo, man. And the Lord prefaces that by talking about adultery. The second passage is the one that we're more familiar with, is Matthew 19. So the same gospel, Matthew's gospel, he introduces it in 5 and go and expands on it in Matthew 19. So, and the Pharisees came to Jesus to test him, as they always did, by asking, is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause? Right? Because remember, they're going back to the law in which Moses allowed for divorce. Right. So now Jesus answers them. You have you not read that he who made them from the beginning made them male and female? So the first thing that Jesus does, instead of going back to that particular law, he goes back to Genesis. He goes back to the beginning. This is what God's plan was. My father's plan was from the beginning. Right? Male and female, he created them. Zeker unibekwa bara otam, in Hebrew, male and female, he created them. And then he quotes Genesis 2. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. Daubach in Hebrew. It means to adhere to like super glue. That the bond between a man and woman is so strong that it cannot be divided. So he first quotes Genesis 1, then he immediately quotes Genesis 2. Not only any verse from Genesis 2, the verse that establishes the covenant between the man and the woman. And he says, father joined to his wife, and the two shall become one. They are no longer two, but one. We'll continue that on the other side of the break here. God's Blueprint for a Happy Life, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. See, that's that Steve Ray Vaughan, man.
Yeah.
The scuttlebutt. Yeah.
I would like to point out, anytime I mention that I love blues or that I write blues records, they're always like, oh, like Stevie Ray Vaughan? I'm like, do you realize the catalog of blues artists that exist?
Yes.
Everything's not around Stevie Ray. Nothing against him. Love him. He's great. But come on. Expand your palate.
Yeah, and this is one of the things, like, when people, like, say Stevie Ray Vaughan, I do this when I'm writing a book, too. Yeah, I look at some of the guys that I admire, guys like Dr. Scott Hahn and Father Mitch Pacwa and Dr. Brant Petrie and all those guys. But I want to see who influenced them.
Right.
You know, and read them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like read the people that they read that helped, you know, form their way of thinking, understanding theology, understanding God.
Yeah.
You know, same thing with musicians. You go back and look at the ones that influenced them. So who influenced Stevie Ray?
Right.
That's the people that you need to go back and listen to.
Yeah, one of my favorite clips it may have been Austin City Limits, I think, where he's either jamming with BB or BB's in the audience or something like that. So you know that there's that connection to perform in front of those legends like that.
Yeah.
You know, because again, everything, especially when it comes to blues, everything is connected. Like, you can't not. I mean, even people that didn't necessarily release records, but their names were known because they were street musicians or, you know, they were just the opening acts for, you know, so many big names. It's like, oh, yeah, I'd steal a lick from so-and-so and so, you know, and you just got to get you a compilation record.
Yeah, exactly.
Let the essentials just pick it for you.
Yep. Oh, I love that. I'm Deacon Howard Burke Sivers, listening to Beacon of Truth. And today, we're continuing our series called God's Blueprint for a Happy Life. We're taking a walk and reflecting on each of the Ten Commandments. Today, we're at commandment number 6, you shall not commit adultery, which is more than just extramarital affair. It's talking about our bodies as temples of the Holy Spirit and what happens when we abuse that gift from God. Would love to hear from you today. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
This weekend, Father Thomas giving us insights into how we can explore the rites of the Eastern Catholic Churches. Easy to do with Light of the East Radio. You want to check that out Sunday mornings, maybe on your way to Mass, 11:30 Eastern. It's Light of the East Radio on EWTN Radio.
All right, God's Blueprint for a Happy Life. We're walking through each of the Ten Commandments and showing how they're connected to our everyday lived experience. Today, commandment number 6, adultery, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Paul is a first-time caller calling from New Hampshire, listening on Hope FM. Paul, welcome to Beacon of Truth. Paul, are you there, my friend?
Two-part question.
Oh, there you go. Okay, I hear you now, Paul. Go ahead, please.
All right. I have a two-part question. My first question is, God has given us eyesight. He's given us desires and everything else, which I accept. But what do you do when you've been married for 35 years and for the last 14 years your wife has absolutely no interest in physical contact? Now, you're fighting the spirit, you're fighting everything else, and what do you do? I've talked to a number of my friends, number of them have been married between 25, 40 years, and the men are saying that they have been without any sexual contact for 10 to 20 years. So what do we do with that? And I will take your answer offline. So,
yeah, can I just ask a quick question, Paul? And your wife is she been in menopause that whole time? 15 years?
No.
No? Okay. Okay. All right. So let's tackle that this way. So first of all, you know, the conjugal act, the conjugal union, as for two purposes. It's a unitive and procreative dimension. So it's for the union of a husband and wife, right? Because even spiritual connection, of course, right? But also there is literally a biological connection as well, because during the conjugal act, certain chemicals are released: vasopressin for men, oxytocin for women, and those are bonding chemicals, you know, that help bond the couple physically, you know, biologically to each other. But there's also a procreative dimension, right? So there's a unitive dimension, bringing closeness and intimacy, and a procreative dimension to help bring forth new life, and then, of course, the education of children. So the act itself is a participation in the very life-giving power of God, right? So, remember, the marriage itself is pointing and directing us toward the ultimate end, which is life with God forever in heaven, where there is no conjugal intimacy in heaven, right? So what we experience on earth is a participation in life-giving power of God that points us and directs us toward our ultimate end. Now, the reason I asked that, I know you're offline, Paul, but the reason I asked that question about menopause, because many of us, and myself included, are in a situation where you're used to having a certain level of intimacy, and then menopause kicks in, then it kind of just drops off a cliff, you know. And, you know, so it's where, you know, my spouse is not very interested that much anymore, but I still very much am. So what do you do with that? What you don't want to do is give in to the temptation for lust or objectifying your spouse or pornography and those kinds of things. Because that's kind of the easy way, because what happens when you do that is that you're desiring the pleasure, not desiring the intimacy. So you're separating the unitive and procreative dimensions. And when you do that, you create a chasm and a gap. And that feels uncomfortable in our life. And so we try to fill that with things that will never satisfy that longing and desire. But what you're experiencing, Paul, is basically, it's a cross. You know, I don't know the reasons why your spouse is not interested anymore. I'm sure you guys have probably talked about this already, but to have an honest conversation about what's going on and why she's not interested, and if there's nothing that can be done about that, it's either something that physically going on or psychologically may be going on, this is something you have to accept as a cross, you know, because eventually there's going to be a point where that expression of love in your marriage is not a main focus, right? And so, you know, it diminishes over time. So you have to find a different way to show love and intimacy with your spouse that's not physical. And I get it. As a guy, man, I totally get it, man. You know, that you know, like the light's kind of always on, you know, but we have to direct that energy toward a different way of expressing love and communion with our spouse, you know. And that's what I've begun. That's what I've begun to do as well in my own situation, you know, more prayer, you know, and other things to kind of compliment. I know it's maybe not an answer that you are looking for, because there really is no, I mean, that's a difficult question to address, you know, other than having an honest discussion, maybe trying to some things that can be enough. If nothing can be done, you have to accept that as a cross and then find other ways to show levels of intimacy. All right. God's Blueprint for a Happy Life, our continuing look at each of the Ten Commandments and how they apply to our everyday lived experience. And today we're looking at commandment number 6, which is adultery, which is much more than an extramarital affair. It's using our bodies as God intended, as temples of the Holy Spirit. And what happens when we abuse our that gift that God has given us? 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-EWTN. 1-800-273-3986. You remember, you can also text us your question or your comment to 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Gabe is calling from Ohio, listening on The Rock. Gabe, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Oh, it's Sister Gaby, baby. Hello, Deacon Hill.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
Deacon,
great to hear
Blues,
from you again.
Deacon Blues. That is a reverential and sacred music title for you. I just want people to know this is not, you know, this is not a bad thing. And that it's a shout out to Steely Dan. So anyway, I just wanted to say that, you know, our bodies were born for God. Mm-hmm. They were born for God alone. And whatever our vocation, married, single, you know, whatever it is, religious, we are all born for God. So anytime, you know, and we're living in a world culture which is pretty godless, and I'd say the world culture is like hedonism, you know, like that's mm-hmm. That's the world religion, you know, my, you know, my pleasure, it's all my pleasure, you know, that's what it's about. And the antidote is our commitment and our consecration to the Holy Spirit. And also, I highly recommend consecration to Jesus through the Blessed Mother, mm-hmm. which is the Michael Gately consecration. Guys, 33 days of morning glory. But let us look at St. John Paul the Great, Theology of the Body, guys.
Yes.
This is it. This is the bomb. This is the nuclear holocaust of love. Anytime we contravene and go against God, we're going against ourselves simultaneously. So if we're fornicating or committing homosexual acts or whatever it is, it's not just people inside of marriage, Deacon
yes.
Blues, okay? It is not. And we have to look at it from that perspective. We need to all be, I would say a Yeshua Tina. I'm a little Jesus girl. We're all meant to, because we're already created in the likeness of God, we need to, holiness is set apart for God. So these were my quick, you know, just bullet point, you know, thoughts, you know, for us, because we're meant to be conformed and growing in holiness, growing and being conformed to the heart, mind, and soul of Christ. We are going to all have, like, you're your own personal flavor of Jesus, Deacon Blues. You know, and I'm my own personal, you know, it's God's stamp is upon me, and I want to increase. I want to him to increase and I decrease, okay? All right, mm-hmm. I think that's pretty good. What do you think? You tell me.
No, I like that. In fact, let me use a music expression. Let me riff off what you just said, because there's something that you said struck me. You know, God has given us pleasure, because pleasure is not a bad thing. Because if we experience that pleasure, I think the pleasure that we experience is God's way of for having us physically experience some of the joy that he has when he created us. You know, so whether that's the pleasure that comes from a conjugal act or eating a piece of chocolate or something like that. But what is the purpose of pleasure? Pleasure is something that God uses at a very base level, at a very simple level, that's supposed to direct our minds and our hearts to God. So you have, you know, the pleasure elevates the mind and heart and in a very small way leads us to God. What happens, the point that struck me, what you said, Gabe, is that what we do in the culture, the hedonistic culture, takes pleasure out of its proper context, and this is what John Paul II does so beautifully in Theology of the Body. He reminds us that what the culture is doing is taking pleasure out of its proper context of being a means that points us toward our ultimate end. It takes pleasure out and holds it up, holds it up as an end in itself. So the end is not God, the end is the pleasure. Pleasure now becomes your God. And that's when we get into trouble. Because we get so caught up in the pleasure. When the pleasure is gone, we need more. Then it becomes addictive. And then we enter this cycle, and if we go deep into that cycle, of continuing ways to gain pleasure, then we begin to lose ourselves. We begin to lose our heart for God. So very, very good points that you made there. And you're right. The 33-day consecration, you know, adoration, confession, all those things. Theology of the body, you know, is a beautiful ways for us to continuing to have our minds and our hearts focused on God. Love that, Gabe. Always love when you call. Please call back again. Always love hearing from you. God's Blueprint for a Happy Life, our continuing series of reflections on the Ten Commandments. Today we're looking at commandment number 6, which is adultery. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Tanya is a first-time listener calling from Ohio, listening on The Rock. And Tanya, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hello.
Yes.
It's Deacon that I apologize. I don't want to be incorrect.
Oh, that's okay.
So my question is, as I grew up Pentecostal, I always have believed in God. I have struggled a bit with religion, however, and since you were talking about adultery, it struck me and I thought I would ask you the question. I've been with the same person for 27 years. We are married and I'm married to a woman, so I'm assuming God wants me to be faithful because I love this woman and have always been faithful and she's been faithful to me. So I wanted to get your take on my life.
Okay, so... first of all, everyone is called by God to love, right? And we are to love everyone with the love and the heart of God, right? We love every single human being, regardless of race, color, nationality, whatever it may be. We are called to love everyone with the love and the heart of Christ. But when it comes to marriage, God is the one who establishes what marriage is, not the culture. So we talked about Genesis chapter 1. Where God says male and female, he created them. In Genesis chapter 2, we see this in Matthew 5, Matthew 19, and other places. So marriage in the eyes of God is between a man and a woman. That's what marriage would be. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't love the person that you've been in the relationship with. It's not about loving the person. It's about understanding what marriage is, or actually it's matrimony. It comes from the word matrimonium in Latin. So matri is a derivative of the word mater, which means mother, and monium means the state or condition of something. So literally, marriage literally means the state or condition of motherhood is what matrimony actually means. And that's the language that the Catechism of the Catholic Church uses when it describes this sacrament. Right, it's entering into this relationship of love and intimacy. So that marital union is a reflection of the Trinitarian love of God. All right, you're in a relationship, but we as Catholics would not look at that relationship as marriage, as a matrimonial covenantal relationship with God. Again, it doesn't mean that you don't love the person, that you guys don't have a beautiful relationship, but in the eyes of the church, that would not be marriage in itself.
So in the eyes of the church, if I stay with my wife, am I still going to go to heaven?
Well, here's the thing. But what are you practicing? What denomination? You said you Pentecostal? Are you still in the Pentecostal church?
I am not. Absolutely not. I've explored many different religions, and I believe that God loves and accepts us for the humanity that we have inside, and that he does command us to love everyone. And I believe that we are free to marry and love the person that we fall in love with, and we should be faithful to that person. And so I was just asking your opinion because I have been looking at different religions and someone who is going to, you know, want to accept my wife and myself.
Yeah, it's not about accepting you both of you as individuals. It's about recognizing the relationship that you guys have. And in the eyes of church, that would not be a marriage. Again, I mean, I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. I'm not going to water down the truth of the faith either. You know, God does call every single person to love everyone totally, complete, unconditionally. But God also says when it comes to marriage, and that expression of God's love is between male and female, man and woman. You know, obviously you're not you're exploring different faiths. You know, you grew up, you said Pentecostal, but you're not looking at any particular faith now. And you're trying to find a faith that will accept, because again, it sounds like, probably in yours, it sounds like, well, he's not very accepting, or the Catholic Church is not very accepting of me and my wife. That's not true. We love you both with the love and the heart and the mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But that relationship that you're in, we would not see that as a marriage, an act that is consecrated by God and that was ordained by God. So that would be, you know, something that you may want to consider. I mean, that's the cultural idea, because in the culture you can marry. I mean, in fact, in the culture, I live in Portland, Oregon. Just north of us, 3 hours north of us is Seattle. There was something, an article where a woman tried to marry an apartment building, or, you know, and people try to marry their pets or try to marry. See, it's taking this great gift that God has given and say, well, I decide what marriage is. You know, God doesn't decide, or church doesn't decide, I decide. You know, and when we do that, we make ourselves God, you know, which is exactly not, we want to participate in the life-giving love of God, but we are not God, you know. So that was a temptation in the garden. So, you know, just know that. I mean, I'm speaking to you right now, Tanya. I love you as a brother in Christ, and the person that you're with. I love them as a brother in Christ. Totally. If I were to meet you, I would, you know, I have no problem spending time with you, talk with you, nothing like that. You know, I have no issue with that at all. But the reality is that, you know, I have to separate you and my love for you as a brother in Christ from the actions and decisions that we sometimes make as human beings.
All right. Well, I do appreciate your input. I mean, I thank you very much for, you know, your guidance. So,
well, Tanya, you know what? I am so grateful for your call. I am grateful to you. I consider you a sister in Christ, and the person that you're with, I consider them a sister in Christ as well. And please know that I'm going to pray for you, Tanya, as you continue this journey to discern what God is calling for you. And I will be praying specifically for you that you will come to open your heart to see the what God really has in store for you, like what God's actual plan is for you and for your life. And I will be praying for you. If you want to call back, you know, on the show, maybe on another topic, we'd love for you to call us again. But thank you so much for your vulnerability, for your call, and for being open to listening to a Catholic perspective on your situation. So, again, thank you so much, Tanya. And we'd love to hear from you. God's Blueprint for a Happy Life. We're taking a look, a reflection on each of the Ten Commandments. Today we're looking at commandment number 6, which is adultery, which is, as you heard on the show, is much more than just an extramarital affair. You know, it goes much deeper than that. 833-288-3986 1-833-288-EWTN. So, the in catechism and looking at this, and of course, John Paul's theology of the body, God is love, right? The most basic thing that we read in scripture about who God is love, 1 John 4:16. And in himself, in God himself, he lives a mystery of personal loving communion, right? So, God creates exists as a family and communion of persons, one God, one divine nature in three persons, and they share love between each other. So it's loving and life-giving, right? So the reflection of God's love is both loving and life-giving, right? Which is it goes back to Tanya's point again, you know, in that relationship, it's a reflection of God's Trinitarian life. And so a man and a woman in that conjugal act bear life, just in the way that the father loves the son and the son loves the father. And that love between them generates a third who gives love and life totally back to the father and the son. A husband and wife share in that love. They create children who give their life and love back to their parents. Again, it's not a perfect analogy, but the idea that the family on earth is the image and likeness of the family in heaven. It's a reflection of God's Trinitarian life. So God within himself lives in this mystery, this sacrament of personal loving communion. And so he creates the human race in his own image and inscribed within the very heart of man and woman the vocation and thus the capacity and responsibility for love and communion, right? And he says, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, right? Which is one of the things that we do, participate in God's life in that beautiful conjugal relationship. All right, my friends, I'm praying for you guys to have a great weekend. And next week, we're going to be taking a look at discrimination against motherhood. Now, remember, you can stream today's show by visiting podcastcentralew10.com/radio or just download the EWTN app. And until we're together again, my friends, may Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.